Lori Watanabe, the editor of Mobility Management Magazine. Welcome to our Mobility Management Podcast. Today I'm joined by Ming Chang from Target Mobility to discuss a topic I'm calling Then and Now. Ming, welcome to our podcast and thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Lori, and I really appreciate the time that you're providing me. And I guess being in this industry so long and looking in the mirror all my gray hair, I'm a perfect candidate for then and now, right?
Exactly. I've been thinking of this podcast episode as then and now in part because I wanted to mention your new venture and position with Target Mobility, which we'll get into, and how that's caused you to kind of reflect about your start in complex rehab more than 20 years ago. But obviously, I'm thinking about then and now also because we're living in a very, very different world versus what our world was like just a couple of months ago.
Sure.
And I don't think many people believe we're just going to go back to exactly the same world we lived in before this pandemic. We're creating new ways of living, new ways of working. And our new reality will probably include a good number of these ideas. So that's what I wanted to talk about. But let's start with your new position with Target Mobility. Tell me what you'll be doing and what about this new position takes you back to some of your earlier days in rehab.
So about fourth quarter last year, one of my good friends that I've worked with, Casey Clark, who's the principal at Target Mobility, him and I just sat down, exchanged some ideas, talked about how much our families mean to us. We talked about the area that was open for him. And lo and behold, it was funny, Lori, the area that he wants me to cover to be his manufacturer's rep is almost the exact same template or the area that I had when I first started with Invacure 26 years ago. So I started a new venture with Target Mobility. And Lori, I have impeccable timing because when I started my consulting business back in 2008 and 2009, it was in the middle of the Great Recession. So that wasn't a challenge for me enough. So I started this new venture with Target Mobility in a pandemic. So I have just great timing in this business. And as you know me well for a long time, these are great challenges that we have. But certainly, you know, my timing's great.
Sounds like it.
But, you know, it's funny, or it's more really interesting. I went back to one of my first clients I met with in January. Seglinda, she's at the NSM down in Dunbar, West Virginia. And 26 years ago, she was my first in-service with Invacure. And I can still remember that in-service. It was on the Super Pro T and the Pro T, rigid frame chairs, rigid frame aluminum. And I told Seglinda, I said, I never envisioned 26 years later, I'd be back here in front of you. And at the end of the day, it's a real blessing. And it was interesting to go back into that territory and drive down 77 South and go down the same mile markers and the visual cues that you were driving down as a kid. And I laughed at myself because when I went down there and I drove down there in January, you have your cell phone, you have your satellite radio, you have your GPS, you have your text, you have your email, and you're inundated with this stimuli while you're driving. And I remember back when I was 22, 23 years old driving down 77 to West Virginia, I had an alphanumeric pager and a cell phone. My boss told me, don't give the phone number to your customers and only use it in an emergency. So the comparison of that time is striking. But when you talk to a Seglinda and you talk to her staff, what they do and what we do hasn't really changed too much. Right? We're still a high-touch business. It's a business with a lot of compassion. It's filled with passionate people. That hasn't changed, but it's funny how everything around it in a halo has changed a lot, especially the technology.
Yeah, that's
great.
So it
has come full circle. Yeah, it's fun.
Absolutely true. It has. You have come full circle, which is a nice transition to another question, which is where you think we're going from here as an industry, because as you alluded to, complex rehab is medically necessary equipment regardless of what challenges are going on at the time. And at this time that we're recording this in early May 2020, we're starting to see some parts of the country reopen, which could mean clients starting to go back to clinic for evals and fittings. So in the immediate future, do you have any expectations for how this could happen and what will happen given your position which is largely to educate ATP suppliers and clinicians on a range of CRT so they know what seating and mobility options are available, are you personally ramping up in any way? Or are you anticipating a backlog of clinic visits and the need to educate a lot of people in a short time so that they can serve these clients as efficiently as possible?
It's a big question, and it's an important question, I think, that we're all asking ourselves right now. And since, you know, I live in Ohio, and we shut down, and my wife and I were talking about this. We lost track. It was sometime in 2 weeks before spring break for my kids. I think we're in our eighth or going into our ninth week. And during this time, I've spent a lot of time just engaging ATPs and clinicians, and I set a goal for myself. My friend Richard Dove helped inspire me to do this, to call 4 or 5 ATPs a day. And do more listening than talking and see what their world is like, see what their expectations are. And I can tell you at times, you know, you're talking to ATPs who will tell you, it's business as usual. I'm busier than ever. And I've heard a couple of ATPs indicate to me that they're having one of their best months ever. Then you'll talk to some ATPs that will tell you, Ming, I'm furloughed, or I'm working just a few days a week. And those break your heart. Because I've mentioned to you, Lori, many times that we work in a very small community. That being said, we look out for each other. And when you talk to these folks that are furloughed and working part-time, it just breaks your heart, but it's just good to listen to what their challenges are. It's good to listen to how they see the future. So a couple things I've noticed so far, I think that for the folks who are very busy, like you've mentioned, we're very early into this pandemic and being in the shelter in place. I do believe we're working off an old reimbursement cycle. So there was a lot of business that was generated in January and February going through the reimbursement cycle, and it's now being dispensed. It would be very interesting to see if the trend line continues through the summer of folks who are very busy. Is the intake matching what's being dispensed? That thing is very interesting to me, is to hear that. And also finding out, in some of the more rural populations, businesses drop dramatically. In the more dense populations, it's almost business as usual. But certainly one thing that I'm hearing across the boards is everyone is looking to technology. People are looking at telehealth. And telehealth was really forced upon us for some of the skeptics. Well, now you got to try it, all right? You got to try to do an evaluation this way or at home if you have someone who's not feeling well. I think telehealth is going to be a gigantic part of our future, and we received the good news this week that our clinicians will be able to bill for it. But there's also some apprehension. We're a very hands-on business. We're very much kick the tires industry, a term I like to use a lot in the past. And I think that's a little bit foreign for us to look through a camera and not grab those hips, not grab that person gently. I think that's a little bit foreign. I think it's a lot foreign, and it's something that it's going to take some time for us to get accustomed to learn to live through some mistakes, and to learn how to use this new technology. But, Lori, I think that one thing I sit back or stand back or look at a higher view, what really hit me was this. It's very easy for us to be cynical in our industry. In a lot of the conversations that we've had in the past, it's always this fight for reimbursement and getting people the right equipment and constantly lobbying, if it's at the state level or the federal level, it's easy to be cynical. And I can look and stand up and say, yeah, I can be one who can fall into that trap. And I look right now to my friends in different industries, if it's retail, real estate, restaurant, I feel for them. I really do, because when this ends, their world's going to be very different compared to the pre-pandemic world. And I'm thankful to be in our industry, because there's one consensus I hear from all the providers, to clinicians, ATPs. There's a lot of business to be had. There's a lot of pent-up demand. And our business will move on and will march forward. It will be different. Service will be very different. Evals will be different. But the business won't go away, right? And we're looking at a lot of industries right now. When we read the newspaper or watch the news and we hear these stories of restaurants closing and retail closing, and I drive down the road and I see all these empty storefronts, I'm thankful to be in our industry. I'm thankful to work with the people I do. I feel very lucky, because I know our industry won't change. So to answer your question, short story long, it will exist. it will persevere through this because there's a tremendous spirit in our industry. But the reality, too, is there's a lot of folks out there who need mobility. That doesn't change. And there's one thing I've noticed very early on is that when I started to re-engage or engage with the facilities that I haven't in a long time in my area, one thing that I've learned is that our population continues to grow. And I don't mind to sound baroque about it, but there's one thing I've learned calling on some of these facilities is folks with CP are living longer. There's more medical advances saving babies. A lot of things that didn't exist very early on in my business 26 years ago or in our industry 26 years ago, being back on the field and being back at the really small level, boy, I'm really surprised at times the volume of people in our pediatric and adult facilities. And it wasn't like this 26 years ago. So there's been some tremendous advancements in medicine and technology that our business really will stay constant.
You mentioned remote technology and telehealth, so the ability for clinicians to bill now for telehealth. Medicare says that's okay. We're looking at remote technology being used on the ATP supplier end to do some pre-screenings, to do some triaging as far as who needs what, and kind of getting that idea without having to actually drive to the client's household or go to a clinic where you're no longer allowed to go inside. Are those sort of the lessons we can take as an industry as we move forward? Ideas such as remote technology and telehealth, are those things that you can see us retaining and expanding on as we go forward?
You know, I was talking to a friend who was having some dental issues in the middle of the pandemic, and you couldn't see a dentist. So he told me that he called his dentist and they made a telehealth appointment. I said, what did they do? He said, when I was using my phone, he said, well, put that camera farther in your mouth. I was completely surprised, but I wasn't surprised because it's going to tell us the technology, especially on the medical side, is going to advance quickly, where we might have cameras that hook up to our USB ports or our computer or a stethoscope or a light with a little camera to look in your mouth. That's just going to happen. So when we hear stories or incidents of folks on the, you know, the physician or the dental side asking someone to put their camera and their phone closer to see what was causing the pain, we have to expect that this will trickle down our industry and we have to embrace it. And by the way, they figured I was wrong with my friend's tooth and it worked out well. He didn't have to go to the doctor's office. And you think to yourself these days that that's going to continue to happen. So we look at our ATPs and our clinicians, especially at the ATP level. I think one of the most tricky things they have to encounter on a daily basis is service. Service after the fact. As we've heard from our ATPs and we've heard from our dealer association, service is not a moneymaker. A lot of times it's a struggle. But to be able to triage that and say, hey, Mr. or Mrs. Chang, tell me what's wrong with your chair. Oh, what noise is it making? Can you put your phone there and show me? I think that's inevitable. I think that we've already seen technology on the power chair front where people are able to diagnose a chair via new technology and come prepared. They're not doing as much diagnosis in the home or in the facility. That's going to continue to happen, and it's going to continue to help our business. So I do believe that we're going to have to embrace this as manufacturers. I think that we're all going to give a little bit more leeway or a lot more leeway to our providers that, hey, if there's a mistake on the measurement, we'll compensate you somehow, that we have to understand that this is a new methodology and we have to advance that as well. But Lori, I think the one thing that won't change is this. If you need a custom back and a custom seat, certainly you can use telehealth to help. I was watching Rye Designs help one of the facilities with a very difficult, challenging client. But there's still an ATP and clinician on one end, ensuring that the person is molded properly, ensuring that the person is comfortable. But they can use telehealth as an addition to help them with their confidence with the product and to help with the most difficult situations. I know we'll embrace this because, hey, the bright thing about this is it's forced new technology on us that we probably would have been slow to adapt to, and it's going to help. And by the way, to tell you what, you know, now and then, Invacure back in 1996 had a virtual service program on their PowerChair. And I was there at the time. And it was really funny, Lori, is we could diagnose a chair at the time over the phone, and even we make some simple adjustments. What you'd have to do is the provider would have to go to the home, call Invacure Technical Services, tell them to dial this phone number, and you plug the phone cord into the motor controller. So we were trying this a long time ago, and it's funny is here we are in 2020, we're like, whoa, we have to do something like that now. And I think back then we understood that this was eventually where it was going to go. So certainly the advancements that we see today, we've always been behind the rest of the consumer world with adapting to new technology. I think this is one point where we're going to be on par with everyone else.
Okay, so if we're going to be taking some of this technology with us into the future, it does potentially change the landscape of what an eval could look like, or sort of the order of the processes, which steps come first. Maybe we sort of do a pre-screening, even with people who need very, very customized systems where you're really going to have to do an in-person evaluation. But if that's sort of the future that we're looking at as possibly going to happen or probably going to happen, CRT, as you mentioned, is a very, very hands-on industry, not just for needing to be in a clinic evaluation where you can actually see and touch and be there as a team, but we love trade shows. We love getting together. We love the team aspect of it, I think. And we also tend to be an industry that does a lot of physical crawling over and under a new wheelchair to check out everything and understand how everything works. So it is a very, I think, face-to-face sort of industry. Do you think that part will change, or what traits, I guess, do you think are at the heart of CRT that no matter what we're going through, whatever the specific circumstances are, what are the certain traits that won't change?
You know, I can answer that question without, and I don't mean to sound rude about it, without putting much thought into it. The trait that will never change in this industry is the compassion that we have for one another in this industry, but as well as for our clients. There's a lot of problem solvers, or people what I call love to unlock the puzzle. It's just a natural trait of a lot of the folks I've seen over the years that I've worked with. And, you know, the passion that we have about our industry and who we work with, that's never going to change. And when I think about where I started 26, 27 years ago in this industry and compared to today, that's been a constant. If anything, it's increased because our ability to communicate with one another has increased. Our ability to share information and data with other people has increased. So the passion has increased. And I think that will never change. What's going to change is how we perform some of these evaluations, how we bill and how we service. Like you said, we're a very hands-on, of a hands-on, high-touch industry, right?
Yeah.
We love to kick the tires on new products. Sometimes to repair a chair, you're at a person's home, you got to transfer them out and take it apart and fix it right there. Some of those things will probably are going to have to change. One of my friends mentioned to me, who was at a facility, hands-on approach is not going to change, even during the pandemic. Make sure you're properly gowned. Make sure that you're wearing face protection, and you'll be fine. So that's not going to change, the hands-on approach. But using technology to help with a power chair so you know going to someone's home what you need to bring, being able to triage or be able to say, well, before I go to this clinical evaluation, tell me what you know. Can you show me some photos? That's definitely going to change our industry. Or even from the evaluation, and now think about AIMEE systems. One of the things at AIMEE systems that we mentioned is send us as much data as you can about the individual. Show me a photo. Show me how they're sitting. Well, now it's going to be, show me a video. Can I see that person during the evaluation so I can properly set up the chair? I think that's going to come to our benefit is using this new technology. But again, I really have to reiterate the compassion that we have for each other, the compassion that we have for our clients, the passion that we have about our industry. And there's so many people who love problem solving, who love unlocking puzzles. That's what's made our industry unique, and that's just not going to change. I'm confident of that.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much for sharing some stories about what it was like when you were starting out, and then also sharing, of course, your perspectives of where we could go from here as an industry. Thank you also for updating us on your new position. Best of luck at Target Mobility. Sounds great.
Hey, Lori, thank you for hearing me out. And I guess there's one last message I would tell everyone. And I've told my children about this. We're going to get through this. We are. I told my children about the Greatest Generation and what they had to go through and having to ration food and not being able to know that someone you loved was alive, hungry, cold, that suddenly homemakers were working in factories. I was telling my kids about this. I said, prior generations have been through more difficult times. We are going to get through this, but we have to look out for each other, think about someone else before we think about ourselves, and we're going to get through this. The spirit of this country has never changed. There's determination, and we will find a way to get through this. We all need to keep our chins up, look out for each other, and we'll find a path to success.
Well, thank you. That's perfect. With that, we'll be wrapping up our podcast, and I'll just remind everyone that Mobility Management Podcasts are available for listening and downloading on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. The best way, as always, to be sure that you don't miss any of our podcasts is to subscribe. You can also go to our website, mobilitymgmt.com, to listen there. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back again soon.